Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I rather doubt that our sermon theme for today is one that makes most folks, or something that most folks want to aspire to, huh? After all, the scriptures tell us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and giving till it hurts doesn't seem to mesh with that very well. Giving till it hurts doesn't sound much like a cheerful giver, but more like a reluctant giver. For unless you are a masochist of some sort, pain is not a very cheery experience. And yet, having said that, I am reminded that Paul said in the scriptures that suffering produces character. And that God's power is perfected and often revealed too through our weakness. And our society, and probably our own experience too, all quick to inform us that where there is no pain, there is no gain. Growth, whether that be financial or emotional or physical or psychological or even spiritual too, is the byproduct of coming through and dealing with pain. The pain itself is not the reason for the growth, but it is often the catalyst for it. Growth often only happens at the point where pain begins. So while, you know, exercising my muscles with very light weights might be more comfortable, it's only at that point where I begin to push my muscles to work beyond their comfortable threshold at a point that might actually hurt a bit, that my muscles begin to strengthen and to grow. And thus, while giving till it hurts might sound like poor advice to give to a Christian, perhaps it's the exact advice that every single Christian disciple and steward needs to hear. Perhaps, really, maybe that should be the maxim by which we determine how much we should pledge and give to the Lord. I think to a great degree, this is what separated the poor widow in our gospel reading this morning from all the others who were contributing to the temple treasury that Jesus saw. You know, as Jesus observed the folks putting their offerings into the temple treasury, he noticed that many wealthy people were putting large sums of money. In fact, they were probably giving more in one time than that poor widow ever would in her entire lifetime. But they weren't giving till it hurt. Because of their wealth, they could give large sums of money without batting an eye. They were giving out of their abundance. But such giving is comfortable. That kind of giving is easy. It doesn't push one to the point of growth, maybe to the point of pain, forcing a person to trust in God for their sustenance. And that's why a tithe, 10%, is probably woefully too small an offering for a wealthy person to return to the Lord. I mean, 10% of $1 million a year is still $900,000 a year. Well, maybe only $500,000 or so after taxes. And I don't know about you, but I can still live pretty comfortably on $500,000 a year. And so for that person making $1 million a year, maybe 20% or 30% would be a better giving challenge for them one that causes them to hurt a bit and to trust and then also to grow. You see, God doesn't want people just to live with faith. He wants his people to live by faith. Those who live and walk and breathe, not necessarily knowing where they're going or how they're going to get there, but who have to trust in God to get them through. You know, living with faith assures us of our salvation. Living by faith grows us as God's disciples. And this is the example that we see portrayed by our two widows this morning. They both gave all that they could, not knowing where their next meal or their next dime would come from, but they did it anyway because they trusted in God to provide for them, not knowing how or when or where God would provide. They gave till it hurt, believing that God would provide. That is living by faith. And yet, I'm sure the widow of Zarephath must have asked herself at some point, yeah, but what if the Lord doesn't replenish my oil and flour? And yet, she still used her last little bit of oil and flour to make that cake of bread for Elijah. And that poor widow at the temple must have at least considered the thought, yeah, but what if these two small coins are the last money that I ever have? And yet, she gave to the Lord regardless. And I know this question is probably on many of your minds also. What if I pledge to give 10% of my income back to God and then I can't pay my bills? There are a lot of what ifs in life, aren't there? Here are a few more what ifs. What if we never give till it hurts? Will we ever grow to be the disciples that God wants us to be? What if we always let fear stop us from living by faith? Will we ever experience life on this earth in its fullest measure? What if we never trust God beyond what is comfortable? Will our lives ever be the instrument that God uses to bring others to salvation? Too often we let the fear of the unknown stop us from living by faith. The what ifs of life become overwhelming and they prevent us from experiencing the deeper things of God. John tells us that perfect love drives out all fear, for there is no fear in love. And in Jesus Christ, and through his death and his resurrection, we have experienced the most perfect love of all. He sacrificed himself for us to give us the forgiveness of our sins, to give us the gift of everlasting life in that world that is to come, and full life in the here and the now. To live by faith in him is not to live in a place of doubt and uncertainty, but it is to live with absolute confidence that God will always provide for our needs because he loves us. He loves us beyond our ability to comprehend or define. He loves us so deeply and so completely that there simply is no possibility that he won't help us. Luther stated this. He said, faith is a living and unshakable confidence a belief in the grace of God so assured that a man would die 1,000 deaths for its sake. But you won't ever know the extent of that love or that help or that kind of faith if you never give beyond what's comfortable. You know, you never know you can swim until you jump in the deep end and have to swim. And you'll never know that God will sustain you until you're forced to rely on the promises of God and not simply upon your own financial prowess and savvy. And you won't be at that point of giving till it hurts, until you give beyond what is your comfort level. Until you live not just with faith, but by faith. May the love of God revealed in Christ give to each of you the courage and the desire to live and walk by faith. And maybe even to give till it hurts. To the glory of God and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.